Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of the Study with C. Martin podcast. I'm your host, Shonda Martin. For those that may be new to joining us today, the Study with C. Martin podcast is the audio companion to the Study Bible Study textbooks and online Bible study course. Now, to access these free materials, just visit our website at studywithcmartin.com. There you can download the materials chapter by chapter, all free of charge. Before we get started today, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word and the power to believe your word. I thank you for filling us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling, that we may know what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance and the saints of light, and that we may also know, see, demonstrate, and experience the exceeding greatness of your abundant power, which is at work in us and toward us who believe your word. Continue to draw people to receive your word through this podcast, and continue to enlighten us in your word as we study today, Father. I thank you for favoring us and for giving your angels charge concerning us to keep us in all of our ways. We forbid any hindrances to distract us while we are studying today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are getting started in the third part of chapter 10. So if you have not already listened to the previous episodes for chapters 1 through 9 and even parts 1 and 2 of chapter 10, come off of this episode, get caught up with the other episodes, and then return to this one once you are up to speed. Okay, so if you have the PDF, we're at the bottom of page 301, and we are starting in the section that says, "No partiality, live long and call for your ride when you are ready to go." Again, in this chapter, we are going over the importance of not showing partiality to others and not accepting partiality for ourselves for anything in the Word of God. God provided healing, restoration, and redemption through Jesus Christ for everyone. He is no respecter of persons. God does not regard man higher than woman, nor does he regard one ethnic group higher than another. He does not regard one social status higher than another. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all on the same level in Christ Jesus. And because we are all one in Christ Jesus, we can all freely receive the blessings of God through and because of Christ Jesus. So we're not to think that we're not worthy enough to receive because we are man or woman, or because we are from this ethnic group or this gender group. Nor are we to look at others and say that they should not be able to freely receive from God because they are from this ethnic group, this gender, or this social or economic status. As we covered previously in parts 1 and 2, when we judge others as being unworthy of receiving healing, help, or salvation, we nullify our own healing, help, and salvation. Even if we've already received healing, help, and salvation, we can cause that to no longer be enforced. So when we look at the situations and circumstances of others, we must always remember that nobody's situation is too far from the power of God to heal or help. Amen? So previously we covered not showing partiality for things that society and tradition would have us to accept as normal, like negative signs of aging, having to wear glasses, having to take multivitamins every day. And we also talked about the importance of not accepting even negative signs of aging, because those things are not from God. And we also saw where birth defects and genetic disorders are also not from God. Anything that detracts or takes away or hinders us from doing what God created mankind to do, those are works of the devil that entered man's domain because of Adam's sin. But because Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, we understand that none of those things belong to us anymore. Amen. So we are picking up at the bottom of page 307 in the section entitled, "No Partiality, Live Long and Call for Your Ride When You Are Ready to Go." One thing that makes people sad when they hear that someone has died is knowing that the person had so much more life to live, that they had so much to live for. In other words, they died without living a full life. Sin, ignorance, and disobedience cause people to die without living a full life. However, long life is a benefit we can enjoy when we believe the Word of God and live our lives according to His Word. How do we know that? The Bible tells us this in Psalm 91:16. "With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation." But some will still say, "Well, God never intended for us to live forever. How can you die if you don't ever get sick?" getting old and sick and dying is just a part of life. Because God promised us healing, renewed youth, and long life, you don't have to be sick to die. While the Bible does not tell us that we will never die, it never said that you had to be sick to die. When you believe what the Word of God says and live your life according to the Word of God, you can live a long, productive life and die without sickness or disease when you are satisfied. I know that sounds like a strange concept, but what did Jesus say? Whatever you permit will be permitted, and whatever you forbid will be forbidden. And we see that in Matthew 16:19 and 18:18. If you believe and accept that it's normal for people to get sick and die, and that it's perfectly normal and okay for people to die without living a long, full life, you are showing partiality. You are saying that you believe that Jesus heals everything and protects us from all kinds of harm, with the exception of that one sickness or calamity that will kill you, and that even though God promises long life, that benefit must not be for everybody. And because you believe that, you will permit that one sickness to develop long before you are satisfied with your life and allow it to remain until it kills you. You know, a lot of times people can feel powerless and not equipped at all to speak against the unknown or spiritual things. And they don't have a lot of confidence to speak against those things, especially if you haven't heard and heard enough about the Word of God or the authority that we have in the name of Jesus to do those things. So when presented with opportunities to do that, we kind of shrink back in fear, as if to say on the inside, well, what if I did do this? What if I did speak against sickness or harm or danger and it doesn't work? Not only will I look like a fool, but I would have gotten my hopes up for nothing. I would have gotten my hopes up and been let down because I'm not even sure if this really works. But this is why it's imperative for us to keep hearing and hearing what the Word of God says when things are going fine, so that when things do try to come against you, you have some confidence to speak. You know for sure that the Word of God says that God gave you dominion over the earth and that you do have authority over the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. Again, as we have studied and as we will continue to study, God gets no pleasure and takes no glory in us not fully believing His word, in us shrinking back in fear and not believing and speaking as He commanded us to do. And why does God get no glory when we don't believe and speak as He commanded us to? It is because His power is not going to be at work for us, and we're going to remain in those situations looking just as sick, looking just as broke, looking just as dysfunctional, as if His power never existed and was never made available for us, as if Jesus never came in the flesh to deliver us from the works of the devil. When we sit as the world does and don't follow God's instructions to believe and speak as He commanded us to, it causes His name to be blasphemed, because we're His people, yet we look like He has forsaken us. Again, when we look at the Bible, Hebrews 10:38 tells us, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Here, God says that His righteous one, us, shall live by faith. And that's also recorded in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, and Hebrews 10:38. And what is faith? Faith is simply believing and accepting all of what we have as a result of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And He doesn't say that we are to just believe it on Sundays at church. We are to live by His word. Well, if God takes no pleasure when we shrink back from accepting all of what He promised in His word, what does He take pleasure in? We see that answer in Psalm 35:27, which says, "Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants." We are prospered when we believe His word. The more we believe, the more we can be prospered. I cannot confidently claim the promises of God to heal me of a cold or an illness, but reject the fact that the Bible also says, "As God was with Moses, so shall He also be with you." And we see that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, and also chapter 3, verse 7. When Moses died, he was not sick in any way, and he lived until he had fulfilled his purpose. The Bible tells us that he was 120 years old, and his natural strength was not diminished, and his eyesight was not dim. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 5 to 8. God's power didn't just work for Moses because he was special or because he lived back in the Bible days. His power works for all who believe His word. If Moses had perfect vision at 120 years of age, and the same God who was with Moses, who never changes, is also with me, why should I believe that my eyes are supposed to get dimmer and dimmer after I turn 40? I mean, think about that for a minute. He was 120, and if you're 40, tradition and society and the experts tell you that your eyesight should start to become diminished when you hit your 40s. Well, Moses was 120, and the Bible says he saw fine. God's power didn't just work for Moses because he was special. It works for everybody who believes his word. Again, if Moses had perfect vision at 120, and the same God who was with Moses, who never changes, is also with me, why should I accept wrinkles, menopause, sickness, or death at 35 or even 65? When we believe the word of God, we can look forward to continued strength and renewed youth as we get older. And after we have lived long and are satisfied, we can call for our ride and go home to be with the Lord in heaven when we are ready to go. Again, Moses didn't get sick and die, neither did Aaron. You can read that for yourself in the book of Deuteronomy. When they completed their assignment, when they lived long and completed all that they were supposed to do, they just went up on the mountain and died. They weren't sick. They didn't have any health challenges. They completed their purpose. The only person that fulfilled their purpose in a relatively short time frame was Jesus. And he was supposed to do that. Everybody else is supposed to have a long life. The devil looks for any way that he can to get in to steal, kill, and destroy. All he has to do is to plant the thought and get us to believe it and accept it, and we'll do it to ourselves. Not only that, we'll rehearse what we now believe to others so he can steal from them too. But glory to God, the word of God works the same way, but it works for our good. Keep believing and keep speaking what the word of God says, and you'll have what the word of God says. And once you start seeing the power of God at work in your body and in your life, you'll go and tell others about it so that they can have the same abundance in their own lives. And it'll just keep going and going from there, causing God to get all the glory. Show no partiality, accept no partiality, not even when it comes to the little things you were told that you just had to accept. You must remember, this book, this podcast, and this course is a study in spiritual law and spiritual authority. And that authority is exercised whenever we have heard enough to believe something and speak it. The same spiritual authority that Jesus exercised when he commanded storms to cease is the same spiritual authority he used to raise the dead and command bodies to be healed. Likewise, we exercise that same authority when we speak what we believe concerning every area of our lives. There is no such thing as big or small, insignificant or super important when it comes to exercising spiritual authority. The same spiritual authority you use for one thing is what you use for all things. Again, in chapter 9, we learned about exercising spiritual authority using the power of our words. And in chapter 8, we learned that praying is more than the words that we say on our knees before bedtime. Praying is what you say when you believe and declare the word of God. And when you believe and speak the word of God, God upholds what you said, causing what you believed and spoke to come to pass. Again, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Again, that's in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." And again, Matthew 16, 19 and 18, 18 say, "And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind or forbid on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or permit on the earth will be loosed or permitted in heaven." Do you believe what Jesus said in those three scriptures? If so, what is it that you desire? If you are satisfied with your health, your vision, your hearing, your strength, your agility, your teeth, your skin, your hair, your height, your weight, or any other aspect of your physique, don't think that you were just lucky. Thank God that he has satisfied you. But if you are not satisfied with those things, don't complain and don't accept any partiality. Instead, have dominion. Remember, Jesus said what you bind will be forbidden and what you permit will be allowed. Study and believe what the Word of God says about healing, the power of your words, and answered prayer. Believe that God shows no partiality and have dominion by confidently speaking whatever it is that you desire. Again, in this section, we're talking about not accepting the little things that everybody says that you're supposed to accept. If you want to be healed and delivered from every kind of ailment, condition, and curse of the law, including acne, skin pigmentation issues, vitamin deficiencies, food-related allergies, crooked or missing teeth, reproductive challenges, pain in childbirth, or negative signs of aging, believe what the Word of God says about those things and declare that you are healed and redeemed from those things. If you desire to even be shorter or taller, yes, I said shorter or taller, believe what the Word of God says about the power of your words and declare exactly how tall you want to be. If you want to have brown or blonde, long or short, thin or thick, dry or lustrous, straight, kinky, or curly hair, believe what the Word of God says about the power of your words and specifically declare what kind of hair you want to have. Some men don't have the lean or muscular physique they desire, and some women have too much or too little of what they desire to have in the curve department. Don't complain about what you don't have, and don't waste money on products, treatments, and plastic surgery to try to get what the Bible already says you can have. Believe what the Word of God says about the power of your words, and specifically declare the physique and shapeliness you want to have, as well as declaring what you don't want to have. Again, we have to believe what the Word of God says. And remember what we learned in looking at Psalm 82 early in this chapter. In Psalm 82, he said, "I said that you are gods, but you will live and die like mere men." We are not supposed to live and die like mere men. We are supposed to live and prosper and excel to the glory of God because we recognize and understand that we have His Spirit and His power abiding in us. That's like being a superhero and you never knew that you were a superhero. Your whole life, you just lived as average Joe because you never knew that you had superpowers. Your whole life, you could have been using superpowers to accomplish great things, but you never knew it. And because you never knew it, you never accessed that power. Did you need that power? Yes. Could you have benefited from using that power? Yes. But now that you know that you do have this power at your disposal, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, "Well, hey, I've never heard this before. This sounds weird. I don't think I'll believe that." Okay, well, you'll just continue to go without His power being at work in those areas of your life. Remember how this works. Again, Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18 remind us that whatever we permit or allow is going to be permitted or allowed. And whatever we forbid or bind is going to be forbidden and bound. If you want to forbid His power to be at work in your life by refusing to believe what I've just told you, it will be. And again, I'm not basing this on theories or opinions. I'm basing this on what the Word of God says. If God is putting no limitations on what you can have from His table, why put limitations on yourself? And the crazy thing is, people already pay for this stuff anyway. You're not satisfied with your height. You're not satisfied with your appearance. So you go out and pay for things to make yourself be satisfied. However, the Word of God tells us Jesus already paid for it all. All we have to do to receive it is just to believe and speak that we have it. Again, God doesn't play favorites and He shows no partiality. Again, we see that in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, and James chapter 2, verse 9. All manner of sickness, disease, detriment, challenges, and limitations come from the devil. Again, we see scripture reference for that in John 10:10. Anything that hinders your skin, your hair, your eyes, your teeth, your hearing, your kidneys, your reproductive organs, your back, your legs, your bodily processes, your behavior, your mind, your emotions, or any other part of your body from being completely well, free of charge, is not from God. The devil puts issues, sickness, disease, conditions, ailments, and limitations on people, and then has the audacity to get us to pay for it all. The treatments, the therapies, the medications, the diet plans, the vitamins, the eyeglasses, the hearing aids, the wheelchairs, the crutches, the braces, the plastic surgery, the skin and hair products and treatments, and the list goes on. You know, I have to pause right here just to remind you that when people in the Bible days came to see Jesus, Whatever they had faith for, whatever they believed, he could do it. And he didn't turn anybody away from him. And one particular passage that I'm reminded of is in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 31. That passage says, Jesus now returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat there. And a vast crowd brought him their lame, their blind, their maimed, and those who couldn't speak, and many others, and laid them before Jesus, and he healed them all. What a spectacle it was! Those who hadn't been able to say a word before were talking excitedly, and those with missing arms and legs suddenly had new ones. The crippled were walking and jumping around, and those who had been blind were gazing about them. The crowds just marveled and praised the God of Israel. Again, that's in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 31. Those people that came to see Jesus and received miraculous healings believed that they could receive from Jesus. Likewise, we have to believe that we can receive even what seems to be miraculous by today's standards. Don't look at your hair or your physique as being something simple or trivial that the Lord is not willing to do. Again, when the two blind men came to see Jesus, all he asked them was, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And so he's asking you today, do you believe that I can do this? As we have discussed, God didn't bless some people with strong, healthy bodies, sound minds, good genes, and great skin and hair, while leaving others to have to pay for and manage genetic disorders, health troubles, perpetual skin issues, or height challenges. Remember, the choice is ours. We can have as much or as little of His power at work in our lives as we choose to accept and permit to be at work. And again, the scripture reference for that is Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, chapter 18, verse 18, and Ephesians 3, verse 20. But some will still say, "Oh, you're just being nitpicky or ungrateful. You just need to accept the way that the good Lord made you." God put no limitations on what we desire to have according to His word. And as it pertains to our bodies, He tells us in His word what we can have in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. There He said, God created them male and female, and He blessed them saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." Remember, while we can use our words to speak concerning our overall healing, height, hair, skin, and build, speaking according to His word does not include using our words to try to change our gender or any other change that would hinder us from being fruitful and multiplying. Again, having what He said comes from believing what He said. God will not make you subdue your body and accept healing or renewed youth any more than He makes anybody accept salvation. However, He does not think we are being greedy when we choose to accept all that He provided through His Son Jesus. That would not make sense. Why would He chastise us for believing His word and accepting what He said we could have? Again, John 15:8 reminds us that God is glorified when we know and believe what His word says we can have, choose to accept it, and actually receive it. Again, that makes us walking billboards for the power of God when we can show off that His power actually is at work in our lives today and our prayers actually did come to pass. Jesus tried telling this to a group of religious leaders one day. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I and my Father are one. We are united in spirit, power, and purpose." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If He, God the Father, called them, His people, gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of me, whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and that I am in Him. that I'm united in spirit, power, and purpose with him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And that passage is found in John chapter 10, verse 25, and also verses 30 to 39. Now let's break down this exchange. The first commandment God gave his people says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, and Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. Jesus never said that he was God the Father or that he had replaced God the Father. But according to that commandment, the Jews under the Old Testament law thought that it was blasphemy to declare yourself equal with God in any capacity, and that included saying that you were the Son of God. Jesus told them who he is, but they refused to believe or accept what he said. And what was it that Jesus said? He is the Son of God. He has the Spirit of God. He came from God and was sent by God to do the will of God, his Father. While the religious leaders thought they were correct in rejecting Jesus, they were not glorifying God because they refused to receive the one God sent to save them. Again, we glorify God when we believe his word. And because we believe his word, we believe and accept that Jesus is the holy and righteous Son of God, sent to die for the sins of the world. And we see the scripture reference for that in John chapter 3, verse 16. We believe and accept that Jesus fully accomplished everything necessary to satisfy spiritual law for us to be healed, helped, and reconciled to God. And the scripture reference for that is Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Lastly, we worship Jesus as Lord because we believe that God gave his name all authority in heaven and in earth. And we see the scripture reference for that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. God gets no glory when we reject Jesus in any way or think that Jesus is something that God never said he was. Why not? As we see throughout the Bible and also in chapter 4, what the Bible doesn't say, whenever we choose to believe the wrong things about who God is, who Jesus is, and what his word says, instead of what the Bible actually says, that causes us to be led astray. And just as with the religious leaders back then, it keeps us from having the healing and help we so desperately need and desire today. God was glorified in all that Jesus did because he believed, accepted, and obeyed what his Father told him. The religious leaders, however, did what many have done and still do today with similar verses of scripture. They took one thing Jesus said out of context and they decided that it meant something other than what he actually said. Again, Jesus never said that he was God the Father, but that he was the Son of God who was sent by God and that he and the Father are one, that they are united in spirit, power, and purpose. And when we study all of the other scriptures about Jesus being equal with God in context, we see that they all affirm the same thing. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ. He made him Lord by giving his name authority and Christ by making him the anointed one sent to redeem mankind. This Jesus whom you crucified." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 says, "So too Christ did not glorify himself so as to be made a high priest, but he was exalted and appointed by the one who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten or fathered you and declared your authority and rule over the nations.'" John chapter 7, verse 28 says, "Jesus was still teaching in the temple area when he said loudly, 'Do you really know me and where I am from? I am from here, but not by my own decision or authority. I was sent by one who is very real, but you don't know him.'" And why did he say they did not know God? Because they rejected the one whom God sent. If you really know God like you say you know God, or you really know the word of God like you say you know the word of God, then you'll believe the people that he sends. You'll believe what his word says. "For I, Jesus, have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." And we see that in John chapter 12, verse 49. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Jesus said that in John chapter 14, verse 10. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we see, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Romans 10, 8 and 9 says, "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we see, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son or reverence him and acknowledge that he is holy and righteous because God sent him and acknowledge and receive what God sent him to do, he who does not honor him does not honor the Father who sent him." The Bible tells us that there is one God, and that just as God made man and appointed man to have dominion over the earth and over everything in it, he also appointed or made Jesus to be both Lord and Christ. He didn't appoint Jesus to be God. We are saved when we believe and confess that God raised Jesus from the dead and that Jesus is Lord, not when we believe and confess that Jesus is God the Father. And again, Jesus did not raise himself from the dead on the third day. God the Father raised him from the dead. Jesus' power and authority did not come from himself. It came from God the Father. And God the Father did not retire when he sent Jesus. Jesus has a specific purpose, just as God the Father has a specific purpose. And for Jesus to say that he had come from God the Father, that did not mean that he had replaced God or usurped God's power and authority in any way. And as we will continue to see, we will always encounter problems when we misinterpret or refuse to believe and accept what the Word of God actually says. We will only have the good that God provides in His Word when we believe and accept and obey what He actually said. Now, as I briefly touched on earlier, in that exchange with the religious leaders, Jesus quoted a scripture from Psalm 82, verse 6. As we have already studied, the religious leaders in Jesus' day, as well as the prophets of the Old and New Testament times, did not fully understand all of what we know now. Now, to understand what he was talking about, let's look at that entire psalm in context. Psalm 82 says, "God stands in the congregation of the mighty, which is his people. He judges among the gods, or his people. And he calls his people gods because his people have his spirit." And he's talking to his people here. "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" Selah. That means pause and think about that for a minute. "Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." Like, free them from the works of the enemy. Whenever you see somebody that's suffering through oppression or the works of the devil, tell them the good news of the gospel so that they can be free from the works of the enemy. Then he says this about his people. God says, "They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable." Why are the foundations of the earth unstable? That's like how in James, the Bible says, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're not founded and secure in the Word of God. You're unstable because you're chasing various beliefs, or you're believing one thing half-heartedly over here and one thing half-heartedly over there. You're unstable. Therefore, there's not going to be any stable demonstration of God's power in the earth. Well, God goes on to say, "I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit the nations." Jesus understood that this passage of scripture said that because we are like God, we should act like God, carrying out his will on the earth. God's presence, his spirit, was and still is among his people. He heard and saw how they had judged the affairs of their lives. This psalm was written because God's people weren't acting like God. They were refusing to accept what God said and refusing to act like God, and were subsequently refusing to have God's healing, help, and power at work in their own lives. Because they chose to have partiality with obeying what God said, they also showed partiality with accepting what God provided for them and in their treatment and concern of others. As a result, they would suffer calamity and die like mere men, void of God's power and authority. Again, when we look at Old Testament times, part of the reason, and you can see this when we read through the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 58, I believe, the Israelites were complaining to Isaiah the prophet saying, you know, we've been fasting and God hasn't seen our fasting. We've been crying out to God, why is he not answering our prayers? And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah to tell them, you're trying to figure out why I'm not listening to you. You all aren't doing what I told you to do. You're not following the instructions you've already been given. God cannot supersede the words of our own mouth. If you have believed and declared that his word does not apply to healing everybody or being able to do anything about your hair or your physique or your dietary conditions, then his power is not going to be able to be at work. And just like Jesus said, you're going to die like mere men. You're going to have the same kind of results that people have who don't have God's power. Again, the passage in Psalm 82 was written because God's people weren't acting like God. They were refusing to accept what God said and were refusing to act like God. And they were subsequently refusing to have God's healing, help, and power at work in their lives. Likewise, the Pharisees were also refusing to have God's power at work in their own lives because they were refusing to believe and accept what Jesus was saying. A lot of times people will say that if they lived back in the Bible days and saw Jesus in the flesh, they would have automatically believed. But we see clearly that people were living in the Bible days with Jesus there in the flesh who refused to believe what he said. Why? Because it just sounded like it was just too much for them to believe. And because they chose to have partiality with obeying what God said, again, those in that psalm also showed partiality with accepting what God provided for them and in their treatment and concern of others. And as a result, they would suffer calamity and die like mere men, void of God's power and authority. In Jesus' response, Jesus said that God is the one who called us gods in the first place. Not that we were to be idols or religious figures to be worshipped instead of God, but because we are God's people, we are also gods, meaning that we are one, united with his spirit, his power, and purpose on earth, just as Jesus was and is. And just like Jesus, we are expected to have dominion and exercise spiritual authority to help the poor, the fatherless, the afflicted, and the needy. This passage of scripture in Psalm 82 applies to God's people today just as much as it applied to the Jews Jesus was talking to back then. Jesus always believed and obeyed what his Father told him, and as a result, the power of God was always evident in everything that he did. He did not shrink back from criticism or pressure from the religious leaders to follow their unscriptural traditions. And we see that in Matthew chapter 15 verses 1 through 20 and Matthew chapter 23 verses 1 through 39. He was not persuaded when even his own trusted disciples tried to rebuke him, telling him that he didn't have to be crucified. And we see that in Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 to 28. Far too often believers today hear what the Word of God says, but choose to show partiality and believe and obey what everyone else thinks, believes, and does. And as a result, we live and die like mere men instead of having God's power continually at work for us as it was for Jesus. And then we try to say that God just doesn't do those things anymore. He doesn't do those mighty miracles and mighty works as he did through Jesus and the apostles and others in the early church. And that's simply not the case. His power cannot be at work when we don't believe or speak or obey what he said. Again, like those religious leaders Jesus was talking to, the only people who have a problem with believing and accepting what God said are those who never really knew what God said for themselves. And if he said you can have it, then believe what he said and freely and completely receive all of what he provided. I cannot stress this enough. The power of God was not just automatically at work in the life and ministry of Jesus because he was the Son of God. Jesus walked in authority and power because he believed and obeyed what his Father said. He believed that they were one, united in spirit, power, and purpose. And as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified, one of the things that he prayed was that those who would eventually come to receive salvation would also be one with him and the Father, just as they are one. And we see that in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. And just how do we become one with Jesus and God the Father? By believing and accepting what he said, and by walking in the power and authority that God said we have through his son, Jesus. Again, we cannot just put this off on Jesus and say that, oh, well, that was just Jesus. Jesus was special. He was different. We can't be like Jesus. We're not like Jesus, because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, none but Jesus. No, if we are going to have God's power actively at work in our lives, we have to believe and obey what he said. We become one with Jesus and God the Father by believing and accepting what he said, and by walking in the authority and power that God said we have through and because of his son Jesus. But just like those back then, those today who do not believe and obey his word will live and die without his power at work in their lives. You can believe and accept all of the healing and help Jesus provided, part of it or none at all. If you only want to be healed of a backache or terminal ailments, but you want to keep the adult acne and unmanageable hair, you can. If you want to be healed of deafness but think you should suffer with damage caused by years of cigarette smoking, you can. If you think that the good Lord redeemed us from serious ailments, but we're supposed to accept and deal with the normal weight, hair, height, and skin issues like everyone else does, you can. But if you want to have all of what God provided for us through Jesus, then you are going to have to know, believe, accept, and obey what his word says for yourself. And his word says that he shows no partiality. Believe his word and don't let anybody talk you out of having any of the good that we have because of Jesus. Again, looking back at Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, and who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Man, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't forget any of the benefits. Be excited about what God has done for you because of Jesus. Don't accept partiality and think that this is just too much for you to believe or accept. If the word of God says that you can have these things, believe that you can have these things. Again, 1 John chapter 4 verses 8 and 16 remind us that God is love, and love shows absolutely no partiality. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us that love always hopes for and believes the best for all things. And as it pertains to one another, we should always believe that God's power is available for all of us, regardless of background, history, education, social level, gender, nationality, or even type or severity of ailment. The Bible tells us in John chapter 7, verse 24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." What does that mean? It meant judge with God's eyeglasses, judge with God's vantage point on things. Instead of looking at your life or somebody else's situation and declaring, oh, that's just beyond God, that's just too much for God to deal with. No, put on God's eyeglasses and see with his supervision. His supervision says all things are possible to them that believe. So when you look at your life, when you look at the height challenges, when you look at the hair challenges, when you look at the skin challenges, when you look at the obesity, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the genetic disorder, the food-related ailments, the negative signs of aging, look at them with righteous judgment and know that none of those things are beyond the healing and help that we have because of Jesus. Anything that came as a curse of the law no longer belongs to you. Galatians 3:13 and 14 reminds us that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And that covers everything, not one part, but all of it. And remember, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe that his power covers that, if you can believe that he wants you to be healed and helped and have long life and renewed youth, then his power will be at work to cause that to come to pass for you. Romans 1:16 tells us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And what is salvation? Healing, help, forgiveness, deliverance, protection, and power. So from now on, don't judge any situation or ailment on how it appears or what society or years of tradition says about it. God the Father and Jesus our Lord both said that we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we see the scripture reference for that in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Don't judge and accept God's best for your own life and think that the shed blood and broken body of Jesus covered every situation or ailment except the things that your neighbor is suffering with. Don't even judge and accept God's best for most of the things in your life except those things that you think you're supposed to manage for yourself. Jesus redeemed us from every curse of the law. Don't continue to believe and accept things that people say you're just supposed to accept as you get older. Don't continue to believe and accept negative signs of aging, menopause, or infertility, or barrenness of any kind. Don't continue to believe and accept genetic disorders or birth defects. That stuff does not belong to us. Don't believe and accept that sometimes people just fall off and die in middle age. That is not the will of God the Father. Those are curses of the law that came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come. He has come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Remember, love always judges unrighteousness, knowing and believing that because Jesus died for all of our sins and made all of us righteous, all that he freely provided is available to every person who believes his word. Amen. We have come through the end of chapter 10. That went by a little bit faster than I thought it would. I hope you are enjoying yourself. I hope that you all are finding freedom in his word. Freedom knowing that you can be free from ailments and challenges and limitations that have been placed on your body. Know that you can have healing today. And if this material has blessed you and has caused you to see God's power at work in your life and in your body, send me a message. Send me an email. I'd love to hear your testimony. I'd love to share your testimony. Man, the word of God says in Revelation, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony will be encouragement to somebody else. You can send me an email at contact@studywithcmartin.com. You can message me on Facebook or Instagram at Study with C. Martin, or on Twitter at Study with C. Martin. And you can also leave a message at anchor.fm/studywithcmartin. Thanks again for spending time with me today in the Word of God. I look forward to spending time with you guys next time on the next episode of the Study with C. Martin podcast. Again, I've been your host, Shonda Martin. And until next time, I hope you guys have an absolutely wonderful week. In Jesus' name.